Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out.
It's a strong name, dude. It's like aggressive and masculine, like Boner Forest, but Boner Forest was taken.
Yeah, but maybe we need a name that's more affirming. It, like, shows what we stand for.
We don't stand for anything. Remember our company plan, guys. Startup, cash in, sell out, bro down.
Dustin Verdonk, thank you for joining Akeem's Dream Show.
You're very welcome.
Well, we're here in Millwood. It's a beautiful day. We just finished golfing. Dustin's a scratch golfer. Not many people know this, but he's... you have the same flippers as me. I got those from Costco.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many good deals they have there, eh? Soon we're not going to need another store besides Costco.
You know what? I don't actually have a Costco membership. The girlfriend does all the shopping there. I've been many years since I've been there myself.
What about for the pumpkin pie? You don't even go for that?
No, I just come over to your place.
That's right.
I'll let you do all the groundwork.
We've split a pie once or twice, right?
Every time I think of pumpkin pie or see one, I think I've always taken a picture and sent it your way because you guys are synonymous together.
100%. You might as well put the Batman sign in the sky. One of two things is going down. Someone's getting salted in Crime Alley or pumpkin pie's back on the shelves.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah.
100%. But back to golf. You are a scratch golfer, isn't that right?
I scratched myself a few times in between shots.
What does scratch golfing mean?
Essentially, it means a zero handicap, meaning that you're not afforded any extra strokes while you're playing. Essentially, scratching out your handicap.
Okay, so that means you're getting par effectively every shot.
Yeah, par or under.
So if it's a par four, if you have four chances to hit it in, you're getting it effectively par every time.
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is, I was looking at some stats on this earlier, or someone was actually mentioning to me. I didn't look at it myself, but I think I think it's only like 10% of, 10 or 15% of golfers break 100, and, only 5% maybe break 80, and you're down to, 1-2% that are scratch golfers, which is typically, 60s or very low 70s there. So, I've shot 80, I haven't broke 80, so I'm in that, would it be that 5th percentile somewhere there?
You're in the top 5th percentile, eh? What else are you in the top 5th percentile of? I'll give you a hint. Sales?
I haven't tracked it myself yet, but I'd put myself in that category.
You are what to sales what Randy is to weed with Integrity Farms.
With a little bit more integrity than that. But
you sell with tremendous amounts of integrity, bro. I've
my stash is on a completely different level than Randy's, but I'll
your stash. What are you talking about? What
I got the Lord stash with a little bit of makeup over top of it.
The Lord, gotta love with the Lord selling the best stuff though, eh? Hopes and dreams, salvation,
yeah. But that's when it comes to sales. I don't think there's a better salesperson ever to walk this earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. What he was selling is free. Yet the vast majority of people who have ever walked on this earth have bought his I won't say bought his product, but have received what he was offering. There's ones that have followed in his footsteps. Nearby, which are the Apostle Paul, certainly probably top three salespeople to ever bless this beautiful land.
When we were golfing today, you said something about how you're so committed in every area of your life, and I wanted to follow up with you on the course, but I wanted to ask you on the podcast instead to get it fresh from you. About how being committed to your faith, your gum.
Definitely you're not committed to that gum.
Your girlfriend. Yeah, it's gone now. my faith in my gum has made me the best gum chewer this side of the Mississippi. But no, you're committed to your woman, your family, your job, your career, your everything you've committed to, you have confidence in. Can you tie in how faith and commitment is tied to confidence?
I think you can only be confident once you're actually fully committed. If you're not committed, then you're not rooted in what are you, you know, what it is that you're, you know, what ballpark you're playing in. It's a good question.
So uncommitted people don't have as much confidence? Like, maybe you can speak anecdotally, because you said you had...
If you're not committing yourself, you don't trust yourself. There's no predictability there. Once you commit, there's a responsibility to follow through. This responsibility for yourself.
You said it rang true to me, and it like made me stop and think. I'm like, whoa, like commitment, totally. Like when you're tied in and you're locked in and you're committed, you know that you are not going to make excuses. I think it's tied to excuses. I think it's tied to follow through, work ethic. Because if you're committed to something, it's like. You either will get it done or you'll find excuses, right?
Yeah. Well, once you're committed, you are overcoming that initial fear, which is that initial fear is you know what causes most people to not commit. And once you give fear a little bit of a leg up in your life there, you know it's much easier to let it run rampant through all areas.
We were talking about this on the course about how sales really is the most important skill in life. Like they talk about You could be a biochemist, a physicist, a freaking MBA accountant, a waitress, a maitre d', the head of the World Economic Forum, an official on a football field. It doesn't matter. When you get high enough at those positions, it ends up becoming a sales job, and I don't think it's really well taught in really any higher-end institution. I'm very curious about that because I find you to be very, probably the best. I've always seen you land on your feet, get new roles, get new gigs, and now you've effectively gotten to a position where you could be ending up with some equity at the company you're at.
Correct.
And I wanted the audience to kind of learn about what you found to be effective beyond your innate loving personality, which just seems to be just like a golden retriever sometimes, the way you just warm up to people. So maybe take us wherever you'd like with regards to sales, the 30,000 foot view.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the kind words, Keem. Honestly, a lot of that journey started when I met you, and you know, we went on a kind of a personal growth journey together. So you play a big role in that, man. I appreciate everything you've done in my life. So
of course.
But there's a lot of people going back to your all the top fields require a level of skills. Once you get there, I would say to get there requires a sales pitch. You have to be, gifted in the art of persuasion. To get any of those gigs, I think everything in life, you're either influencing or being influenced.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess if you want to have more influence, move up in the world, have more leadership. And when it comes down to sales, I mean, I find it somewhat trivial. It's pretty simple. Like I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that there are people who are born salespeople. Or there's certain characteristics, you know, there's outgoing or this or that. Really, anyone can be. You know, charisma is just being in harmony with who you really are. The best people skills you can have is to be a person, which is, you know, authenticity. And I don't think there's any specific, I wouldn't say any specific personality that creates success in any realm. I think it's more characteristics, which is, you know, the decisions you make and how you hold yourself. And, I think at the bottom line of sales is hard to add value, hard to connect with people. And, you know, if you have I'm sure there's someone out there who actually believes in snake oil, but outside of, some shady products, almost anything you're selling has value to somebody out there. It's just a matter of finding who that is. If you believe in yourself and you love people enough and at the end of the day, you put the work into, to go meet as many people as you can.
Yeah. I've started to notice, Dustin, that there's been a sea change in the way that salespeople are perceived, where, like, I think in the 80s, 90s, in the 60s, 70s, there was this thing called the death of a salesman, where the salesman was kind of like a forgotten first piece of the organization, and they were kind of the cog that was an unnecessary evil that was, you know, needed to get the revenue in the company and the top line in. But now I feel like it's almost like a prized position of status.
mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, it's a cool thing to be a salesperson now. Like, I feel like that's starting to kind of be in vogue, where it's like, oh, I do sales at XYZ company, or I'm an investment banker or whatever. They're just kind of all code for I'm a really high-end, important person at the organization I'm with. Have you noticed that, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit more biased. I'm, you know, obviously being in the private sector, you know, around entrepreneurs and other salespeople, you know, there's, you know, it's kind of commonplace. It's we all value what everyone else brings to the table. You know, as a salesperson, you value the entrepreneur because he's the one who kind of, you know, paved the road for you to
have an opportunity.
You know, have an opportunity, but a lot of times the entrepreneur himself doesn't like as a product or is able to put together some money and, you know, need somebody to, you know, to be able to go, you know, break the chain of nobody knowing what the company or what you're offering. But yeah, I guess to your question about the level, I know there's a funny story, I guess, or a funny, I'm paraphrasing to some degree, but my mom, you know, grew up, not really, you know, she grew up in an educational home where, you know, principals, teachers, all that kind of stuff. So not really much of a value on the private sector. So there was no value to the salesperson. She always thought everyone was trying to sell her, and she wasn't willing to be, you know, there's a stubbornness. And I love my mom. That's where I learned my heart to love from. She's one of the most loving people on this earth. So, but you know, there was a stigmatism towards
the sales profession. Slimy, whatever, aggressive, blah blah blah. It's a position of status where it used to be a position of like, oh, like as a guy's a person is a salesperson. Like, I feel like it's like a cool thing now. And the skill of sales, I feel like the people who were the most effective at teaching me things had a sales were good at it. Like the classes I remember the most in high school, if they weren't teaching me social studies, they could have sold me a car. Like, I feel it's like it's the same skill set. Do you know what I mean? It's like they got excited. There's a exchange. Like, sales is about, yes, a transaction, but I also feel like it's an exchange of energy, right? There's definitely there's a steak and there's a sizzle, but there's also the heat from the grill, right? And I feel like you got to kind of bring the heat, and I feel like that's something you do very well. If anyone's around Dustin when he's like, and not in sales, like not when he's working, but just like in general, kind of like sparks everyone up, and it's like, oh, what's going on? Like, it's like, oh, okay, it's like you're like caffeine in the air, right?
I know. Yeah, there's been a maturity progression where you know, there's still a level of enthusiasm and everything, but a lot right now it's a lot more a lot more directed energy, I would say.
Right, you're calibrating,
you know,
it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that does come through, you know, commitment. My energy is given in the right places. But yeah, no, I appreciate that. That's something I've always prided myself on is, you know, being enthusiastic, which, you know, honestly, that enthusiasm comes from the Lord. I think there's a Greek term for it that enthusiasm means with God or something like that. So,
really?
Enthos, because I don't know. I read it in a book somewhere.
Okay.
It was enthusiasm makes a difference, but you know, somewhere along the lines there. But
I think that's a book.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm makes a difference.
Yeah. Old Norman Vincent.
Speaking of enthusiasm and all these people, like you and I are big fans of South Park. What's it called? Who do you think is the best sales? Has the best sales skills in South Park?
That's a good question. Cartman, because of his commitment level. I would have to say Cartman, but you know, I've actually I don't know, you know, necessarily why. I've been trying to reflect on why, but Butters, because there's like such a simplicity to him.
Yeah,
similar to like a Forrest Gump, where you know, there's naivety, but you know, looks at things objectively. There, you're not a level of being you know, level of gullibility, if that's a word, but. But you know,
the Butters bottom bitch when he's like got the secretaries coming through, but, or whatever.
100%. So you know, when he applies that mentality to something, when he's actually you know, has an opportunity in front of him, it works out pretty well. So, but you know, when it comes to sales, yeah, you got to think it's Eric Cartman.
Oh yeah, Cartman. What's your favorite Cartman episode? Cartman Land. I like the Tourette's episode.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
He's like got Tourette's, and he's like, I gotta go to take.
I don't know if I like. He's definitely not my favorite character.
Who's that?
No, Cartman. I don't think he's my favorite character.
Who's your favorite character?
Like I said, either Butters or Randy.
Oh yeah, Randy.
Because there's, you know, Randy represents the typical, you know, American.
Yeah. Yes.
Or the which there's a lot of directions you can go with that, but like I said, I honestly think more recently it's just, you know, Butters and how simple he is anyway.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's a lot you can learn from just simplicity.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, he, you know, gets taken care of or taken advantage of. But it's funny is when they do the newer ones, when he grows up to be like when he's an adult in the newer or some of those newer ones, he becomes very successful. I think he's successful. I can't remember, but yeah, he gets involved with like some in multi-level insurance company kind of thing, like with like recruiting.
Okay.
Like a multi-level type thing, and becomes pretty successful. Which I'm like, yeah, it makes sense with Butters. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There is just a simplicity to it where. You see something, he's like, oh, I'm looking at it objectively. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I, you know, it just kind of makes sense or whatever. And,
or the episode when they start a company to do nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, yeah. Bro up, start up, bro down, or whatever.
Or sell out, bro down.
Yeah, bro down. Yeah.
Start up, sell out, bro down.
It's like, guys, we've been doing too much work today. Remember the plan.
I'm actually very curious how many companies have actually started a company named the Washington Redskins.
The Washington Redskins, yeah.
I was, because I actually just...
Dan Snyder's not the owner anymore, eh?
No.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he's out of there.
Yeah, he got beat by the Cowboys.
The Bears are too much for him, yeah. Yeah, because I was in the registry just starting another company, or just picking out a company name and starting up. And I was thinking, I was like, I should really just... pick the Washington Redskins. I was like, I just want to start one company called the Washington Redskins. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Yeah, but
that's hilarious.
I feel like there's some instant brand recognition, but cooler heads have
the Washington, prevailed. The Washington Redskins. It's like you're selling like flanges and like lifts and stuff. So you've had a lot of corporate sales jobs over the years. I remember you were selling instant boxes. You were selling a lot of stuff in oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll never forget the box company.
Yeah, that was when I first my first sales job when I started.
How about you walk me through your very first job, first sales job to today, and some of the key lessons.
Back
all the way from like maybe 2013, 2014.
Yeah, that would have been 2013, I think 2014 when I first decided to get in sales, quit engineering, and you know at 20.
So you were an engineer before that?
Yes. And I guess technically still am. I mean, you know, you still obviously use it from day to day, just not in a professional sense. But yeah, I was ready to get out of that and into sales. And you know, at 21 years old, there's you know, without sales experience, there's not. Other than selling cars, there's not really a whole lot of you know, guys who are gonna just, you know, take you on at 21 without experience. So, but luckily, yeah, a company called Instabox was they gave me a chance. I interviewed really well. It's, you know, personally grown quite a bit. You know, at that time. Or enough at least to, you know, open the door to get in. And yeah, so I was selling custom boxes and shipping supplies. And
Never forget, didn't you have a custom truck?
No,
you had your own car.
Yeah.
But then I remember your the back of your trunk always had boxes in it. Like we'd go to
yeah, some sample boxes in there, yeah. Yeah.
It had a cool logo too.
Possibly. I couldn't remember.
And you had a territory, right?
Essentially, all of Edmonton. Like it was just right. Wherever you go, and there, you know, there's a list of guys who have, you know, there's a target list of buying from someone else. So, and it was just a matter of, you know, going out there and trying to build relationships.
How do you do that?
You know, it's tough. I mean, it's actually also very easy, because I think most people are, you know, geared towards wanting to be in relationships with other people. So it's, you know, it's just a matter of honestly just being there. You know, the hardest part is actually getting in the door to meet someone, or having the courage to be vulnerable and put yourself in a position in front of someone.
And how do you normally go about that? Right, like you just like knock on the door, walk in, say, "Hey, my name's Dustin." Like, what's your typical approach?
That's probably my favorite way. There's other ways, you know, and depending on the quality, you know, I wouldn't say the quality of the person, because you know that's everyone has equal value, but you know, depending on you know, the position and the company and how hard it is to get in. But a lot of times, yeah, you just go knock on the door and make friends with, you know, anybody, the first person you see and then the second person you see. And you know, obviously you're going in there with an intention to meet or find out who the right person is that, you know, makes this decision. But
are
that
you telling
mean that everyone else isn't the right person to at least you know, to be friendly to and you know, see if they can help you. I mean, one of the best tools is just asking somebody if, hey, can you help me? They're more likely, you know, they're more inclined to want to. So walk and say, hey, can you help me? I'm looking for so-and-so or somebody who's making this decision. And
Okay, so you make your intentions clear at the jump.
Oh yeah.
When you walk in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, not right on the bat. I don't walk in and be like, "Hey, I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell you boxes." I mean, I've tried that before, and you know, sometimes it actually works. But
what's the craziest story with regards to getting a sale that way?
I can't even think of one.
Where you walked in and you just like you were just kind of throwing it. You're like, I don't care. And then you ended up, they ended up inviting you to Christmas or something. Oh,
there's so many of that. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's honestly there's. All these things on techniques and how you do sales and, you know, the proper way. You know, really at the end of the day, it's a numbers game. Like, it's, you have to put yourself in front of as many people as you can. And it's just it's an activity.
And if you say it's a numbers game, it's an activity, what are some of the numbers you've noticed? Like, per every X visits, how many X appointments, X presentations, X transact?
Well, it depends on the industry and the more sales you can have. The more people you talk to, I don't really have the numbers in front of me on, for every 10 people you see, one's going to buy.
Isn't there a frequency component to this too? Because if you spread out those, those numbers over the course of a year versus the course of a month, isn't the pressure and the compactness of those visits increase your chances of just because of the amount of, I guess, practice you have with your pitch and your energy and all that stuff?
Like the intensities.
Yes. Yeah, the frequency.
Yeah. Oh, 100. Oh, okay, so yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. If you're, if you're all in, and this comes back to our commitment conversation, if you're committed, you should be making 10, 20 calls a day, and that's like in person. Like, not that everyone does, or sometimes other things come up, but like, 10 to 20 is very, is very achievable for cold calls. Like,
a day?
Just, easily. Depending on obviously what you're selling, and if you're selling jets or whatever, like private planes, it's a pretty touchy, you can afford a
you in the parking jet, lot at Walmart, yeah. Like, hey buddy, I noticed you got a nice Sedona van there, but got a Cessna.
Those tires are starting to wear out. I think you should probably pick something without tires now here. Yeah. For most things that, generally if you're selling, say, cars or whatever it is you're really selling, if there's big enough market, if you're in a big enough place, and I guess even if it is private jets, really, there, you should make 20 calls a day and just ask, hey, who do you, maybe your sales pitch isn't, hey, buy a jet. It's, hey, who do you know that might buy a jet?
Right.
And you could be talking to 20 people a day, narrowing that down to find out who it is. I mean, I guess if it was a jet, I don't know. I do know probably two guys who could.
Do you have any, so like that's like calling a business during business hours. What about the idea of like meeting, living a busy life and then running into people and having organic, like they just call it networking, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're at church, you're at McDonald's, you golf a lot, right? So you probably meet a lot mm-hmm. of people golfing.
Yeah.
Has any sales come that way?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They come, and maybe not directly, maybe you never really know. So that's the thing with sales is you're planting seeds. You're not, you're not out there trying to, reap a harvest, at all times, because the harvest will come, but you're out there planting seeds.
Right.
You're, when you're, let's say, organically where, you're in the line of a Tim Hortons or you're golfing, wherever it is, what you're doing is planting seeds with, who you are.
Being a good person.
Yeah. I think that's, if you can prove yourself trustworthy, I mean, not trustworthy, not project yourself as trustworthy. If you are trustworthy, and only you really know if you are, because you have, your aspirations, you have, what you should be doing, what you should be eating, when you should be going to the gym, what you should be reading, what you should be watching. We all have a pretty good idea of, what the proper things are to be doing. But if you're not doing them, then obviously you can't trust yourself.
Yeah.
Who else would?
And the one thing about you too, Dustin, is that I've noticed is you've always had a great attitude. I've never really seen you down or depressed or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then when I hear you talking about like, I really control my input. Like mm-hmm. I don't watch the news or I don't listen to this and that and this. And I think you insulate yourself from a lot of the garbage in mm-hmm. the world. Is that on purpose or what's the idea behind that?
No, yeah, it's very intentional. Mind you, like, hey, it's always trying to seep into your life somewhere. And I don't think we can completely isolate ourselves from negative input. because it's always going to be there. But I know the it's a solution to pollution is dilution. So, you know, for every when you're having a bad thought, whenever there's something negative that creeps in, you can't get rid of it. You can only flush it out with better.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, going back to the talking to the right people. Yeah, there's a lot of good ways to, you know, to overwhelm that negative with positive.
Yeah, exactly. You put a little bit of cyanide in a lake, it's not going to kill the fishes, right?
Yeah.
So, because the water in there is going to dilute it to like 0.0001 parts per million. Yeah. So
nil at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nil. So let's go back. Okay, so Instabox, and what was after Instabox?
Greg Distributors.
Greg Distributors, right. So what is that?
It's a distribution company for industrial supplies, one of the biggest ones here in the city, well respected from the outside for sure, you know, great company. That's actually probably where I gained the most confidence as in myself to be able to pursue a sales career. I was only 22, 23 when I started there, and very quickly got promoted to a senior, and did really, really well there. Had a lot of influence, like I said, I did very well there. But
you were training people, right?
Yeah, machine. The system is training everybody.
So it wasn't like Denzel Washington and Training Day. It wasn't like that. You weren't taking them to the hood and making them take Percocets.
No, I had a name tag, No Bling. But
No Bling, eh? Do you take them to the Tim Hortons in the drive-through and say you have to be a wolf or a sheep? And you are in this world.
I did not make my junior smoke PCP. No. I did not.
Come on, you gotta smoke that shit, bro. Come on, you gotta know what it is to bust it, bro.
No, those days are long gone. Drug input by any means. But
hey, man, you gotta know how to party, right?
You know what? When you have a family, when you have kids, and not that I have my own, but I mean at this point they are my own. My girlfriend has two girls, 11 and 12, almost 12, 13. I've been living together for 4 years, so they are mine. The dad's completely relinquished all rights. He's out of the picture, so they're mine at this point. So when you say party, our party is doing a puzzle, or going skating, or just throwing a foot, or just throwing a ball in the yard.
Lit, buddy.
I wish I was better at...
It's okay. I was around when you really partied. So it's okay. You got it out of your system. I can let the audience know that you did not... it's not like you haven't lived life. Let's put it that way. What's it called? So after Greg's?
After Greg's, COVID kind of happened in there, but then I went to selling heavy equipment, yellow iron,
heavy equipment. What's that?
Yellow iron, like heavy construction equipment, loaders, excavators, large earth moving equipment, and it was fun. Big toys. Actually did really well. That's the most money I've ever made. Was managing a pretty big territory, it was...
With the education on these things, like you said, you're an engineer. I know you're also a hockey player. Like, how do you go about learning the product line? You just sit down, study it? Or, like, you just, like, how do you... Because these are all different things. Boxes, flanges, nicks, nuts and bolts at Greg's, and then big toys and, like, tractors and shit like that. Like, you're all over the place with these products. But not really. They're kind of, like, all within oil and gas / manufacturing. So, like, was there a lot of crossover?
Oh, I mean, there's crossover for everything. And ultimately, the customer has access to so much information where, let's say you're going to buy anything. You know more about whatever it is you're going in there to buy than the guy trying to sell it. He might be able to help you facilitate into, like, finding the right answers if there's things you don't know. But the customer knows the most. It's a good perspective of they kind of know what they want.
So you're like almost like a guide or facilitator with the like a menu of products. You're like, what's this? What are they saying about this? Google says this. Do you have to fight Google a lot, or like
fight Google a lot?
Not fight them.
It's a losing battle for sure.
Yeah, Google said don't be evil, right? What's it called? No, do I? What I mean by that is, do you have to cross-reference every product with what Google is saying, so you're prepared with what they might say with regards to a product, or do you care?
No, not necessarily. I guess there's always going to be negative reviews on anything, but I mean, that comes back to, you know, a numbers game of, you know, you go talk to enough people and you build trust and a good relationship with enough people. A lot of people might like you and not really value your product or whatever, but sure, you put yourself out there enough and there's going to be somebody that, you know, yeah, it's like anything. It's just, it's an activity-based numbers game. Put yourself out there as much as you can. Like, you know, I honestly, I had a goal back when I was 21, 22, somewhere there, that I was going to meet every single person in the city. Whether or not that ever actually happens, I mean, and it's still a guiding goal where, hey, if there's somebody I can meet, I'm going to meet them. You know, maybe it's not going to go anywhere. It's
at the OTM won't. Lounge?
At the OTM Lounge. Met a few guys there, that's for sure.
That's the Tim Hortons Wendy's on 104th Ave and 109th Street there, yeah.
That,
I think you met about like 10% of the city in there.
honestly, probably. There's,
Oh, remember that one time I saw you there and then later that night we left each other and then I saw you at the movie theater like on this. I was like, hey, Dustin.
You can't make that up. That's how in sync we were. We leave one place with no intention to go to the same place and we just end up right in the same movie in the same row to like two seats apart, like one person in between. Without a plan. That you can't make that up.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever have anything as transient as that or anything as
We were both on the same wavelength.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. We were pretty much the same people.
Yeah.
So we got all the sales gigs. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your you as a person. So mm-hmm. This is Akeem's Dream Show. This is not just about work; it's about play. Have you ever eaten a full box of Kraft dinner to yourself?
Have I ever eaten a full box of Kraft dinner to myself? No, I don't think I've ever eaten a box.
So like not the box, the cardboard, but like when you cook it, you know, and you add the cheese and stuff to it.
Oh yeah,
like the full thing.
Yeah, of course.
You like the whole thing of pasta? What about?
It's been years. I don't think I've had Kraft dinner now, and like, I bet you it's been at least 3 or 4 years since I've had a box.
But you could dummy a whole, cook a whole thing.
Oh, if I want for dinner, sure.
What about a full pizza?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Of course.
What are your vices these days?
Oh, food,
steak.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, steak. Nice steak.
I actually, when it comes to steak, how do you like it? I do not think there's only one answer to that question. Like, you should medium? Just be like it's medium rare somewhere there. Yeah. It's not like, I don't even know what it is. It's just like, there is, it's some sort of medium rare or something, depending on, but that's an arbitrary
I've heard that, like, ordering it well done actually ruins the steak.
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%, yeah. You should, if someone orders it well done, they're ruining a steak. Like, if a good chef, if you order a steak from a good place, you should just say, I want a steak. And they would know the best, they know how to cook it properly.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's, I don't know, just a little rant, sorry.
Yeah, no, for sure. And movie theater popcorn?
Movie theater popcorn? I haven't been to a movie in the theater for a while. I think I went to go see Sound of Freedom and Oppenheimer. But I don't think I got popcorn in those. But yeah, been trying to stay away from the movies. I mean, Hollywood, I think with all the actors on strike, there's nothing good coming out really anyway. But
yeah,
there's, you know, come back to, you know, the level of input. I mean, it's been a while since Hollywood's made a really good movie.
No, I agree. Yeah, they're few and far between where I feel like maybe when we were growing up, they were more frequent as far as like era of really, I think it's tied to PC-ness, political correctness, but
yeah,
if you can't really be, like, humor can't have rules. And as soon as you put rules on humor, the level of laughs go down significantly, right? So there's a lot of social and world trends going on that affect all these things, I think, severely. So
yeah, there's I think you know, for comedy to exist in a Hollywood's, you know, Hollywood state, it has to be cartoon now. Like, you can't you can't have an Archie Bunker quality person, or, you know, caliber person.
There's no way.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. You have to have a cartoon to be able to emulate or pair parallel that kind of character now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's talk about hockey, because you talked about engineer. And I know when I met you, actually, we knew each other since we were like 13, 14 or something.
Yeah,
Long time, and now we're 32, so that's more than half our life ago. So,
yeah.
But when I knew you back then, you were just a kid who like had a car. So you were one of the first people to have a car.
Yep.
and everyone wanted to roll around with you around Sherwood Park. And then you also played hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And lived out in Ardrossan. So tell me a little bit about your hockey days. And I know you almost made the NHL, or you probably could have made the NHL, right?
Ah, man, there's everybody who's, you know, played with my level, a lot could have made it, a lot didn't. You know, it's a fine line, but, you know, I'm in that, you know, a pretty big pool of guys who maybe could have, but didn't. Center coaches growing up, you know, CEOs of companies, ex-NHL players themselves, just very good quality men. This many and this level of consistent leadership in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. I could say the same things about my basketball and football coaches. Just good mm-hmm. people, taught you a lot about life, working hard, camaraderie, locker room I miss a lot. With hockey, mm-hmm. I always wish I could skate because then I'd definitely make the NHL, man. Top shelf wristers, just like over the shelf of the goalie, right? So what was your favorite? Everyone talks about you having dangles, but like, what was your favorite kind of a shot? Slapper, wrister, five hole?
Bar down or low blocker, soft hands. I don't know. Favorite shot? I guess the one that goes in.
The one that goes in, eh?
Yeah. I mean, different tool for each job.
Yeah, absolutely. When you go to, we'll talk about Christianity and religion in a second, so that's a big part of your life. But I know that your last name is Dustin, and you leave him in the dust, but that day, the dust was left behind you. So it's not a big deal. Like, I mean, we all got to lose sometimes.
The dust was left behind me. You are right. Yeah, you did leave you in the dust that day. For the record, Akeem and I had a foot race because we were always questioning who was faster. And I beat him by probably about three strides. And
Dustin, remember, this is not in your dreams. This is like in reality. Tell him what actually happened. So here's what happened, folks. We were about to go watch Infinity War, Avengers Endgame 2018.
And you know, from my perspective, it's so hard to remember because all I see was like open field in front of me.
Hard to remember. It's hard to remember the things for me that I lost too. I was trying to put them in the past.
That's why.
I always try to think about what I want to do in my life and all the things that were tough. I can barely remember them, right? Which is understandable. I think in psychology they call it like the cognitive dissonance.
Ah, yes.
So it's like I totally get it. You know, it's like it's. Listen, we could have another race when I'm a little bit slower and fatter, and you can use some assistance, maybe an AI runner or something like that.
I wonder if you asked ChatGPT to write a story about us in a race.
I think there was a homeless man named Charlie who saw us run, and I can maybe track him down. Homeless man named
Charlie.
He's probably in the Mill Creek Ravine right now. I'll be like, who won that day 6 years ago?
Yeah.
He'll give us an answer.
I'll just go slip him a 20 to beforehand.
You read a lot of books in your 20s. What was your favorite book you read?
Favorite book?
Or favorite books
that come to mind. It's tough. Something like a John Eldridge, Wild at Heart, Norman Vincent Peale, Enthusiasm Makes a Difference. You know, the Bible.
You read the whole Bible front to back?
Not in my 20s, but now I have.
So how many pages? 659, right?
659? No, I think there's more. Oh, sorry, that's 14, in the Old Testament. 1400 or 1400, something.
1400, yeah.
Give or take.
What's your favorite part of the Bible? What resonates the most with you?
Well, this fella that
strong fella, eh?
A strong, yeah. There's
probably could
there's eat. This fella that bears the whole weight of the world's sin on his shoulders on the cross, is crucified. And
what's that story called? Is that in the book of John?
John makes mention of said story, yes. The New Testament, obviously, it's very impactful. There's
Mel Gibson was there, right?
Yeah, Mel Gibson was guiding Jesus what to say, and you know,
Mel Gibson was there. Speaking of Mel Gibson, remember when we used to go to the all-you-can-eat pancakes at Denny's?
Oh, you know what? After church today, I brought the family to Denny's. Got the old lumberjack slam.
Oh,
and there were some pancakes there, and I was thinking, and honestly, I was telling them about about how much how many pancakes we consumed with all you can eat for whatever $5 or something it was.
Yeah, like $7 or $8.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous. Where when you're in your mid-20s, yeah, you can get away with it. Now, honestly, I have one pancake and I'm ready for bed.
Eat like back then we eat like it would be like a football full of dough in our bellies.
Yeah,
I think that we ate. My record was like 8. Like so, they bring them out in rounds of 2.
Yeah,
and they say, "All right, boys, ready, set, go." And they just start bringing out 2 pancakes at a time. And I think I had 4 or 5. I think I had 5 rounds one time. But the next day was like I was hungover. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
It was just like, just dough. Yeah. Right? And I remember I asked the lady downtown at the Denny's on 104th Ave what the record was.
I'm gonna lay down here.
And she said, indigenous man, Native American man had, I think, 20 pancakes, 18 or 20 pancakes or something. So he dusted. He was a hungry boy that day.
I couldn't imagine having that many. My days of eating that much is are well over. Well, I still have a few days here and there, but
really, really useful stuff. Someone starting out in sales or doing any kind of organizational job in sales, what would you say to them when they're getting started?
Anywhere you start, it's not necessarily a company or a job. Find good people. Surround yourself with good people. Because ultimately, you know, you have to be able to trust, trust the people around you. And if you do, there's, if you surround yourself with good people, you'll be able to, mold into a good organization. I do believe that, a company is only, an opportunity is only as good as the, the people that it's filled with. I mean, that's all a company is just a bunch of people. And it doesn't matter what the industry or what the job or the product is. Yeah, if you have good people all pulling together, then there's a very healthy culture. You can do some great things.
Talk to us about some of the perks of sales, because I know that you and I, when you're doing outside sales especially, you can kind of just like make your own schedule. I remember when I was working at Pepsi doing food service sales, I would just meet you sometimes at lunch or breakfast or whatever any time of the day, because we're not bound to an office. So talk to us about some of the perks in your eyes.
So the perks are you have a lot of independence. That's good and bad. Like you said, when I was younger, I probably took advantage of those perks a lot more and didn't push myself as much as I should have. Where I'm at right now, I guess there's less perks and more responsibility. I don't view the position as coming with any perks, but carries a lot of responsibility. The company itself, which I'm part owner in, lives and dies by sales. The perk is that, hey, if I do well, the company's gonna do well. I'm a lot more committed to doing what it takes, and that's visiting a lot of people, talking to a lot of people,
and I wanted to highlight this point, Dustin, and maybe we'll finish it off here because I know you're struggling.
My back's like throwing up right now.
I know you're an old man. You're only 2 months older than me, but it's neither here nor there.
I think it's just sitting on this hard hill.
This grass, yeah. Don't worry, we're grounding. Don't worry.
Yeah.
What's it called? In dedication in sales into an equity position in this new company. So, folks, what that means is like this guy got so good at this one thing called sales that he's able to now own, or I'm not sure if it was sweat equity or whatever it was. We don't need to know the details, but all that matters is you own something now because of like your skill set. That's
right.
Extremely interesting and awesome. Like that's how you become wealthy in the corporate in capitalism, is you own stuff that appreciates over time and you have a direct hand in that. Like talk to us about how that happened.
So there's a lot, there's being skilled in an area. I've put a lot of work in throughout my life. Read a lot of books, talked to a lot of people. I've done a lot of the work required. I don't think sales takes it is a skill for sure, don't get me wrong, but I think it's you can't overthink it. It's actually quite simple. Anyone can do it. It's just putting yourself out there, doing the work, which is making people aware of what it is that you have and who you are. But coming back to the opportunity to to have equity in the company, a lot of that is I've built myself up and have a reputation, but more importantly, I think is the character, is the man who I am. The qualities, I'm trustworthy.
Exactly.
I believe so. I'm committed to the things that I think are
a value in this world, and you know, I hold myself to a higher standard than what I used to. So, you know, I think it ultimately, you know, to not even just be successful in sales, but you know, in anything, it is who you are as a person. You know, the character of who you are.
Love that, brother. Any other things you'd like to leave us off on, as far as like South Park, craft dinner, cheeseburgers, Edmonton, golfing, anything you'd like to talk about? Top of the mind, tip of the tongue.
Yeah, I would. You know, I'd be remiss not to.
Oh yeah, we talked a little bit about your faith, but you can talk a little bit about it if you'd like.
No, I'll end it. I won't go into too much because I know. It's. I'm not gonna change anyone's mind on that, but you know, I think if there's anyone who's, you know, kind of on the fence, or who has an interest in learning about, you know, what was already done for them 2,000 years when Jesus went to the cross. You know, yeah, that's the biggest part of my life. I think that's the biggest change from who I was to who I am, is, you know, accepting the love of Christ by accepting that he went to the cross for me and paid for my sins so that I could have a relationship with God. And, you know, that's something that I don't take lightly.
100%, brother. Yeah, and I think it's had a marked change on you, who you are as a person, and I respect you for it. And I love that you came on the podcast. Come back. We'll come back again, maybe do a South Park episode specifically where we just review Shea Park Town and Tip Assist.
Yeah, Tip Assist. I was watching that one the other day. I thought of you, actually.
Raising the Bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But, yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. I do. You're a big part of my life, who I am today, and I love you, and you'll always be you'll always be someone I hold the utmost respect for.
Oh, I appreciate that. Love you too, brother, and thank you for coming on Keem's Dream Show. It's been a slice. Now let's go get some deep. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, I'll see you at Costco getting pumpkin pie. Peace.